This is Zone 1 Radio.
Zone 1 Radio.
You've missed that sound, haven't you? The trumpets, the blare, the flare, the red glare. I'm Zeph, Zone 1 Radio's illegitimate expatriate son. And yes, admit it, you've missed me, haven't you? What? You mean you haven't missed that sound? You haven't missed Hollywood films and fast food hamburgers and CSI and Coca-Cola and sneakers and jeans and muscle cars? Oh, don't tell me, you don't use those things? So, from the capital of capitalism, this is the email from America. And in an 80s pop reference, it's the same as it ever was.
You're listening to the post-punk progressive pop party, the New York metro area's oldest new music radio program. And as promised, we do indeed have some guests in the house tonight. Gentlemen, it's been too long since you've been here.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it has been too long since you've all been here. Welcome to the return of the Email from America. And on this show, we're going to preview South by Southwest. And over the next couple of shows, we're going to try and bring you a taste of the festival with reports from our on-site correspondents. But on this show, a quick overview of what's coming up. Now, South by Southwest is America's... Actually, no, it's the world's biggest arts and technology festival. It takes place every March in Austin, Texas. This year's edition features over 2,000 musical acts. Now, I actually went to the website and went through the list of all 2,000 musical acts. You've got all kinds of people. Here are some names you might recognize. Future Islands, Kate Tempest, The Ting Tings, Portugal The Man. And for those of you of indeterminate middle age like myself, here's a blast from the past, Gang of Four. So that's just a taste of the 2,000 musical acts. 150 feature films will debut. Countless products will be shown off. There's a multitude of speakers, from Steve Case to Julia Louis-Dreyfus. There's even one presidential candidate. South by Southwest may not have everything, but I think it's certainly got enough for everyone. So, to get a feel for this year's festival and the mood in its hometown, our guest is a new voice on the Email from America. It's Austin-based podcaster Alan McStravick.
Progressive Press Party, the New York metro area's oldest new music radio program. And as promised, we do indeed have some guests in the house.
This is the Email from America. My guest this week is Alan McStravick. Alan is one of the co-hosts of a new podcast, Austin Outer Limits. It can be found over at AtlanticVoice.net. It's a podcast about Austin, about life in Austin. But I guess, Alan, as I welcome you to the show, I need to be entirely honest with our listeners. You're not originally from Austin.
No, and I'll tell you, there's very few of us that are originally from Austin. I've met a few people who, just in my experiences around town, when I do meet someone from Austin, they will introduce themselves to me and they explain that they are known as unicorns in this town because you don't find very many of them. So when you do, it's like finding something that's almost mythological.
So let me ask you, let's get straight to South by Southwest. You're
it
not
sounds
from
great. It's right around the corner. Yes.
Yeah. You're not from Austin, but obviously the festival is Austin. Share with our listeners a little bit what it's like in the city on sort of the eve of arguably what is a global event.
I will tell you that the energy is starting to become palpable in the city. People know it's right around the corner. And we have, top notch acts from music. We have films that are being debuted here. And we've got, you know, just as a for instance, we've got Senator Rand Paul who's coming to do a speech here. And I think that that's on his run up to running for the GOP nomination for president in 2016. It is a really interesting feeling in this city as we are, you know, now less than 2 weeks away from the kickoff from the 2015 South by Southwest.
You talk about a presidential candidate is coming. I know last year when your podcasting partner Cameron went, he heard via satellite Edward Snowden.
Yes.
Is there a sense within Austin that they are sort of at the sort of the focus point of the global media stage, to sort of butcher a phrase? I mean, are they aware that, yes, presidential candidates are here and international celebrities and acts are here? Is the city aware of its sort of place within the globe?
I will tell you, as an Austin newbie, I personally cannot speak to the overall awareness of the city. Yeah, this, as we mentioned, is going to be my first South by Southwest experience. But I can't imagine that having so much attention and such high-profile individuals coming into the city doesn't make for an overall awareness of not only the attention, but the importance of what is actually happening here. And I think Edward Snowden last year is a perfect example. I saw something, actually I kind of coined something this week. Someone asked the question, you know, is Edward Snowden a patriot or a traitor? And a lot of the comments that were coming out of this thread were, you know, that he's both. And so I coined the phrase that he's a traitriot. Yeah, and
that sounds like a bad Mel Gibson movie,
doesn't it? Well, is there a good Mel Gibson movie? but I personally feel that you know, if we're going to speak to that, I personally feel that we have to let history show on his role in our government. I think that he's going to be the Daniel Ellsberg of this generation. I think it's going to be 20 years since, yeah, hence before we find out that he actually did a good thing. But the fact that that they had a broadcast of him last year at South by Southwest spoke volumes, because most of the people that come to these events, they understand the changing nature of the world, and I think that they embrace it. We start off South by Southwest in a couple of weeks, and it's right as the University of Texas, which has roughly, you know, 100,000 plus students, it's right as they go to spring break. So that was the impetus behind starting South by Southwest, was there's nothing happening in the city. It gets empty. It dies out. And so years ago, they started South by Southwest to recognize that there was an emptiness in the city. And it has become this, as you said, a global phenomenon. And I think that most of the residents who don't go on spring break because they live here day to day recognize the importance. I think they understand the significance of South by Southwest, and what it has on Austin and how Austin has been portrayed to the rest of the world at that point.
For the listeners back in London, there are 2,300 different musical acts from 57 countries, and British listeners will recognize a couple of these names: Kate Tempest, Gang of Four from my youth, European band The Ting Tings. I'm Here, the email from America, originates from Washington, D.C. A local go-go band from here, from Rare Essence, are playing. Just to me, the numbers of the musical acts alone are mind-numbing. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about sort of what you're looking forward to seeing yourself. But is there a moment when, as you as a consumer sort of peruse around what's coming, is there a moment when it all just seems like it's too much?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been looking through the upcoming acts list, and it is, as you said, mind-numbing. You know, there's no possible way that you can see everybody that you want to see. And what that means is that you actually end up missing out on acts that you didn't know you didn't want to see. There's so much talent coming to the city. I'm looking forward to it, but there's no way I'm going to be able to see even a quarter of what's coming.
Our guest this week is Alan McStravick from the podcast Austin Outer Limits. Alan, for you personally, we talked just now about the number of acts. What are you looking forward to? What is it that's piquing your attention about this year's South by Southwest?
For me, I think the most interesting thing that I like to look forward to is, and I think that they are the, you know, I'm not gonna badmouth any other artists. You know, I'm not gonna talk, you know, anything about anybody else. But singers and songwriters are, they're what get my juices flowing. And there's an artist, Sam Pinkerton. She's based out of Nashville now, but I believe she's from Florida originally. And she just has this amazing, soulful, smoky sound. If there's any way that I can get in to see her performance, that to me, that would make South by Southwest for me.
You talk about if there was any way you could get in to see her. For the Austin native, for anyone, is there a sense that South by Southwest has got so big and so international that certain acts almost become, the ticket is too hot, it's too exclusive? Or is there still this feeling, and you talked before about, you know, I might miss someone that I want to see because I'm so hung up about somebody else. Is there a feeling that it's still very accessible, or has it grown too big for its own good?
It's a good question. And I'll tell you, I've talked with friends that live here, and their sense is that they are just, they're over South by Southwest. And I don't think that it's that they think, you know, oh, you know, that festival, whatever. I think it has more to do with the fact that the badge prices are just out of control. I mean, you can't get in to see any of these acts for less than $1,700, which, I mean, yeah, if we're broadcasting to a UK audience, that's roughly about, you know, £2,800.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous, and that gets you in for, you know, whatever you want to do for the 2+ weeks of the festival, but it's just it is inaccessible for many of the people who live here in Austin. It is something that happens in their city that they're unable to participate in. And so, kind of owing to the hipster attitude that is adopted by many people here in Austin, they just decide, you know, well, since I can't go, I'm going to tell people I don't want to go. I'm over that. And I think that's where we are with that. Most of the people that come into South by Southwest, you've got a lot of corporate passes for, you know, a lot of the tech companies and things that are based out of Austin. But for the most part, most of your attendees are coming in from out of state, out of country, out of city.
You mentioned Sam Pinkerton, a musician. Are there other aspects of South by Southwest that are piquing your interest, whether it be a tech lecture or short film directors? What else has sort of grabbed your interest when navigating the pyramid size website that is South by Southwest? What else are you sort of like, if I could get into that would be something?
I have to draw on my political science background. That's what my major was. And so Senator Rand Paul is making his way to South by Southwest this year. No secret to anyone that he has his eyes on the White House for 2016. And what interests me about that is that South by has been identified by prominent politicians and thought leaders as being the place to go to make announcements. And so he's coming in and he's going to do an interactive presentation. And I say interactive. Yeah, it's not that, you know, you're actually going to be able to interact with him. It'll probably be a speech, but it's part of what they call interactive, because South by is broken into three distinct segments. You've got interactive, which covers, you know, things like last year, you know, Edward Snowden, different people making speeches. You have TED Talks, things like that. Then you've got music. You've got all of the live music acts that are coming in, and then you've got film. It's when you think about it, and I've tried to coordinate conferences in the past. I could not imagine the undertaking that has to be gone through to make South by happen each year. And it seems to be getting bigger and bigger. But then you look at the fact that someone like a Senator Rand Paul is coming into town. And yeah, it's his kickoff. He recognizes the youth that that is attracted to this festival, and he's going to try and capitalize on that. And you can't fault him for it. I would love to get into that session. I would like to see what it is that he has to say. And furthermore, I'd like to see what people have to say back to him.
Who's bad to the kiddie in the jackal hat? To the kiddie in a Rooney shirt, dragging back the curtains in the room in a daddy's flat.
Our guest, Alan McTavish. We were talking Rand Paul just before the break. You said that it was almost a, you know, politicians, you know, are starting to look at South by Southwest as sort of an almost an essential stop on their, you know, campaign, of which they all seem to be permanently on. Rand Paul, you know, you said he's coming to make a big announcement. Do you have expectations that it will be a big announcement, or do you think in classic politician fashion, do you feel that someone comes to South by Southwest in almost a, to almost pander a little bit to a crowd that they might not necessarily feel very accessible to? And I can let you talk a little bit, you know, to our British listeners about Rand Paul and sort of some of his platform things. But I find it interesting that someone who just a couple of weeks ago was speaking at a, you know, conservative action group is now at South by Southwest, where, you know, we've used words earlier about, you know, hipster and what have you. I find that an interesting, you know, sort of a convolution of forces.
I think it's to anyone who hopes to challenge Senator Paul, I think it's to their detriment if they don't believe that he's going to find a voice among the young people. He already has here in this country. And I just this week read a report about how, you know, even young people, you know, 18 to, you know, in the mid 30s, who align themselves with the Republican Party, they're far more open to social issues that are being fought tooth and nail by today's current GOP party. And Rand Paul speaks to that audience. And yeah, you know, he was at CPAC. He was at that conservative get together where he just, I want to say he came in first. He either came in first or second.
I think he came in first in the straw poll, yeah.
In the straw poll, okay. And so for him to then turn on his heel and come to South by Southwest, it's different audiences. Most of the people, you know, I consider myself fairly politically astute, and I needed you to tell me that he came in first. I wasn't 100% sure on that. And so he's coming to South by Southwest, and he's going to speak to an audience that was not paying attention, was not listening to what he was doing at CPAC a week ago. He's going to come in here, and he's going to try and drum up an enthusiasm in what I think is a burgeoning libertarian base in this country. And he's going to speak well to it. You know, if he can keep his, if he can keep his father quiet, if he can put a muzzle on his father, who I have to say, you know, and I'm as left as anybody. I have to say, a few years ago, his father, I supported. I thought that, you know, he's someone who speaks common sense. And Rand Paul is his father, but he is far better packaged. And so, yeah, he's coming to South By, and he's going to speak to a younger audience. And anyone who, you know, it is pandering, as you mentioned, but anyone who thinks that it is strictly pandering and that there won't be any benefit out of it, I think they do so at their own peril.
Because there is a sense, isn't there, and in terms of your own experience moving to Austin, and you used the word libertarian just now. While for many of us, whether we be originally from another country or from another part of the United States, we look at Austin and we think of everyone as being, again, I use that word hipster and sort of independent and all the old cliches about, you know, Texas wanting to do their own thing. It's, this is the wrong word, but it's a very savvy crowd, isn't it, down there? And so do you feel there is something about Rand Paul where he can stand in front of that crowd, and even though he may not completely mesh with many of the political views, again, these are the same people that listened to Edward Snowden and the other chap last year. He's got some credibility, isn't he? Whereas I guess we've been using the word panda, but I guess if Donald Trump showed up down there, there would be a sense that, you know, there's everyone sort of nudge, nudge, wink, wink, to use that British expression. Rand Paul does have some credibility with this crowd, right, Alan?
Yeah, let me first say, I dare Donald Trump to show up to South by Southwest. I would love to see that. That would be amazing. But no, he is going to find credibility here. He's obviously a skilled politician. He rose to prominence very quickly. To make your first major run and to win a seat in the United States Senate, you are, you're a polished politician already. Yeah. I'm not on the Rand Paul bandwagon, myself, but I recognize it for what it is. And it is a force that is soon to be reckoned with. There are people who, I think especially at South by Southwest, that audience is a far more discerning audience than perhaps you might find elsewhere. You know, it's going to be people who will challenge him, but, if he can prove himself able to challenge, I don't see how he doesn't walk away with greater support, than when he walked into Austin, you know, before he did his presentation. He's definitely playing the right cards by coming to South by Southwest.
Alan McTavish, our guest on this Email from America, talking a little sort of Email from America South by Southwest preview. Is there anything, and I want to talk generally now about these big events, is there anything that you are leery of as a transplanted Austin resident, knowing that the world is about to descend upon your new hometown?
I think perhaps a year from now, I might have that leeriness, but as this will be my first endeavor into Austin and South by Southwest and the kickoff to our festival season, I am thoroughly excited by what is about to happen. So, I think if you ask me a year from now, I might be among the blasé of my friends who are like, yeah, I'm over this. But I'm completely looking forward to going down there. As a matter of fact, we have a nonprofit bike share program here in the city, and they're offering volunteer opportunities during South by Southwest that I'm probably going to avail myself of a couple of days. And what it is repositioning bicycles that, you know, people who have badges get a 30-minute ride each day.
Okay.
And it's so that you can get around from event to event. And I think that I'm probably, I'm going to be volunteering with them. And it's a repositioning program just to, with all the streets that are shut down, to get bikes from one area of town to the other. That, if we wanted to speak to Austin residents, I think, you know, as I just mentioned, streets being shut down, that's another headache for Austin residents, and perhaps one of the reasons that they look at this as, I don't even want to say a necessary evil, you know, but something that they just dread is, they know the headache that it's about to come with South by Southwest. This is my first one, so I don't know the headache yet, but I'm preparing to experience it, and we'll see if I come out more jaded on the other side.
I do love that phrase that you talked about, that bike program repositioning. I'll have to remember that the next time I'm in court with a whole load of CDs in the back of my car. I repositioned the disc. Let me ask you. You talk a bit about this sort of this sense of. Not doom is the wrong word, but people are like, oh, here comes South by Southwest. Are you aware? Do a lot of local residents get out of town? Do you think there's a segment of the population that actively makes a conscious effort to avoid it? They go on vacation and get away.
I know for a fact there is. And that has been heightened by the rise of websites like Airbnb. There are people who will rent out their homes, rent out their apartments, and they will make 3 months worth of their, either mortgage payments or rent payments in 1 to 2 weeks time. And what they do is they just go away, they get out of the city, and they let people stay in their homes for that time, and they charge them an arm and a leg to do it. And we can get into talking about housing in Austin, but I have a feeling that that's a conversation for a different time that doesn't necessarily deal with South by Southwest. There's a lack of hotel rooms. There is a lack of places for people to stay. And there are people who have turned that for themselves into a cottage industry.
Obviously, Austin City Limits, I think that takes place September, October, autumn, fall. Wherever you are in the world, it's that time of year. Have you been to Austin City Limits? Have you been living there long enough to have been around for that big music festival?
I was here for that last year, and that was interesting. I feel like that was a rain shower compared to the hurricane that South by Southwest is going to be.
So you talk about South by Southwest as a hurricane. So if you were Noah, what preparations are you taking to navigate around the festival? Bladder exercises, push-ups, extra purses around the waist. To talk to me about, sort of diving on in here. Are you personally a big planner and plotter? Or is there a part of you that's going to take a day and just sort of rumble around and wing it and see what you run into?
I'm completely going to wing it. I'm the first one to admit that I have a very heightened sense of naivete. So I have no idea what's about to happen. And
let me reposition your furniture for you then.
Very good. Yes, I'm just going to roll with the punches on this one. I may come out worse for the wear 3 weeks from now, but I'm completely looking forward to the ride.
Alan, share with our listeners some of the things you've talked about. You're interviewing different people, I'm assuming, for Austin Out the Limits. What is there anything that you're going to, that our listeners can find? Are you going to do some reports from South by Southwest? Is there any sort of further, and obviously we'd love to have you back after the show, after South by Southwest, if you're still alive. Talk to me a little bit about some of your sort of entertainment outlets as you head around the South by Southwest.
Well, as you mentioned, I'm a co-host of Austin Outer Limits with Cameron Farah, and we both intend to do our own bit of walking around during South by. I've already started reaching out to musical groups that I want to have interviews with. There are directors of films that are coming in that I want to sit down and talk with, as I mentioned, and we keep coming back to Senator Rand Paul. I can't imagine that he's not going to make a splash here. I would love to be there for that. So I'm gonna see if I can't make that happen.
Well, Alan, I wish you all the best. Get plenty of sleep between now and the festival starts. And I know when it's all said and done, we'll have you back on the Email from America. We will also make sure that Email from America listeners, we will inform you of when all the coverage that Alan's getting comes out on Austin Outer Limits. Alan, thanks for being on the show.
Zach, it's been a pleasure.
All right, email time on Email from America. There it is right there. While we've been away, we have missed some of the greatest excesses that only America can trade in. This is the world's biggest marketplace, the Superstore Convenience Mart, the shopping mall, where you can get whatever you want. So, if sports is your thing, well, we had the Super Bowl, that massive nationwide party that masquerades as a championship football game. From TV commercials costing $4.5 million apiece. Is that a good deal? I don't know what's 114 million viewers in the US alone worth. To two teams where the top players earned upwards of $10 million last year. That's each. All those guys playing for a £7 trophy made by Tiffany, no less. That's no light breakfast there. A halftime show with Katy Perry, sponsored by Pepsi. While I did mention the other guys at the top of the show, it's safe to say that the Super Bowl is unmatched when it comes to domestic sporting competition. Or should I say domestic sporting consumption? Are you looking for a dress? Well, the Oscars might be just up your alley. There's Calvin, Donna, Hugo, Ralph, Halston. Don't know who Halston is. Don't know if it's a he or a she. And it does appear that Halston goes by just one name. You can get all different colors. You can even get 50 shades of gray. Are you thinking of buying a little music? Well, the Grammys were also in the last couple of weeks. Probably wouldn't download Beck if I were you. Then again, if you did, you might find a Kanye West bonus track thrown in. Are you looking to get away? America is definitely the place for some frolicking in the snow this year. Boston and New England alone have had over 100 inches so far. That's nearly 10 foot of snow. Of course, you do then run the risk of getting involved in a little snow-based assault. That's when neighbors get into fights over who shoveled what and who parked where, and then people grab each other and then move snow from their driveway into someone else's. From Ohio to Virginia, there has been a spate of spats over snowy sidewalks. I know it's not quite the same as worrying about shark attacks while scuba diving, but still. If you're in the TV industry and you're looking to do some restaffing, well, there's definitely now a couple of folk here willing to fill out an application. Jon Stewart of The Daily Show is stepping down after, I think, 16 years. The king of fake news is moving on to other things. Brian Williams, for a decade the face of NBC News, has been suspended for faking his part in the news. Such is both men's credibility, it might not be news if they just swapped positions. Could almost make sense. Finally, if you're a politician needing a little domestic support back home, well, if you play your cards right, you could just get yourself invited to talk in front of Congress. Come to America, grab the mic, tell a few scary stories to get everyone riled up about your neighborhood issues back home. Two things we are addicted to here in the States: getting frightened and just a little mystery. Oh, Mr. Netanyahu, we thought you were just here looking for Buddy Holly. That's your lot for the show. It was nice to be back in the chair and talking to you all. Anyway, long-time listeners will know that the Email from America always ends with an instrumental, and I thank different people. But this instrumental on this show, you are listening to Rare Essence. They're a DC, Washington DC go-go band who are going to be down at South by Southwest. And like I say, go-go, as you can hear, is a old school subgenre of funk. That's what it said on Wikipedia. Well, it didn't say old school, but it said subgenre of funk. But it originated in Washington, D.C., where this show originates from. And Rare Essence are, they're one of the old school go-go bands, along with Chuck Brown, who recently passed away, and Trouble Funk. If you've never heard of go-go, if you're not from Washington, D.C., and it really is an East Coast USA capital city thing, back in the 80s, Art Garfunkel, yes, that Art Garfunkel, he starred in a film called Good to Go, which was set in the go-go community. And I actually remember seeing it in the cinema. He played a journalist who got involved in something. I don't remember. It wasn't the greatest film, but it was a film on wide release in the United States. And again, it featured all the great go-go music from Washington, D.C. So there you go. Anyway, this show, this week's Email from America, featured guest Alan McStravick. Again, you can find Alan on his podcast, Austin Outer Limits, that can be found over at atlanticvoice.net. You can actually also find this show now on atlanticvoice.net, as well as Zone 1 Radio. And if you're a Zone 1 Radio fan, don't forget to download the Zone 1 Radio app to either your iPhone or your Android device. I think that's everyone for this week. So in the words of the US Navy's Top Gun training squadron, have a bandit day.
Zone1Radio.com.